Hello and welcome to the Tribune podcast. Today we'll be discussing, will Pep Guardiola's time at Bayern Munich be defined by the Champions League? My name is Stefan Bienkowski and I am joined by Ross Dunbar and Jonathan Harding. John, why don't you get us started?
Thanks, Steph. Yeah, I think the best way to start this conversation is to ask yourself whether you're someone who is into a journey or into the destination. I mean, there are so many facets of the conversation that we can go into, but I'm someone who is totally about the journey more than the destination, and I feel like undoubtedly Bayern Munich have improved under Pep Guardiola, and he doesn't need the Champions League success to define his era.
I'm kind of in the middle, to be honest. I believe that the team has improved. However, if we're being realistic in an age of, you know, instantaneous media and constant analysis, I think the reality is that when the history books are written, Pep Guardiola's time will be defined by the Champions League. We do have a couple of points to get through. I think, first of all, let's just start by even looking at the importance of the Champions League to Bayern Munich. Stefan, I mean, what do you think about Bayern Munich's expectations in the Champions League? I mean, are they expecting the semi-final every year? Or are they looking to win the competition?
Okay, so I think if you want to define the success of any team or club over any period of time, you have to define it by expectations. And those expectations aren't set in stone. They change from 1 month and 1 year to the next based on how any particular competition is perceived, how hard it is. And I think that is at the very heart of how I would define how well Pep Guardiola has done and whether the Champions League is necessary. Now, by that I mean that if we were to base Pep's success purely on what he's done in domestic competitions, you could argue that that's not enough, because he's walked to two Bundesliga titles so far, and he's probably, and this is perhaps the first time he's actually faced any challenge from Dortmund, and you could even argue that it's not been even that much of a challenge, because Thomas Tuchel's first season, Dortmund looked back, summer's close to the best, but it wouldn't be fair to say that Dortmund were capable of challenging at the start of the season. It just so happens that they've gave a good go of it. That's where I then turn to the Champions League and suggest that without a strong Dortmund to test Pep's team over the last couple of seasons, Bayern have to go look in the European competition for a rival, for a yardstick to compare themselves to. And that's where I think Pep's team have come up short of late, against the very best, which are right now Real Madrid and specifically Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly what we can decipher over the last 10 years is that there's a competitive advantage from having that level of competition in your domestic league. I mean, I think Bayern's 2012-2013 success is the anomaly over the last 10 years. When Barcelona, Real Madrid, Chelsea, Inter Milan have won the Champions League, they've done so whilst in the midst of a title challenge. So this year, as Pep Guardiola goes to the semi-finals for the seventh time in his career, and obviously Bayern Munich's fifth consecutive semi-finals, they probably are in a position of strength in terms of, you know, Dortmund pushing them all the way. I mean, we have to, I don't think it's, I mean, one thing is that with Borussia Dortmund, I think there's a perception that there's no title race in Germany, there's no push, there's no pressure, but I would completely disagree with that. I think there is, and Bayern Munich have had to be at the top of their game every single week. Sometimes they've had to grind it out, but they've been there at maximum performance, even when injuries have been a problem. And also you have the DFB Pokal, so there is obviously a lot to play for this season with Bayern Munich, and interesting to see what happens in the semi-finals when things have this year gone their way in comparison to the last 2 years.
I think it's taken for granted as well that Bayern Munich just consistently have this amazing level that they produce a certain throughout the season. And everybody says, oh, you know, well, they're just going to win it. It's a given. But in Pep's first season in charge in the Bundesliga, he effectively got the same number of points as Heinkes, you know, 91 to 90. That's incredible. And I don't think that should be just dropped by the by because everybody labels the Bundesliga a one-team league. You know, especially considering the Dortmund's challenge this year, I totally agree with you, Ross. I think, you know, Dortmund themselves have downplayed it because I think it's a sensible thing to do. But at the same time, this is very, very close, you know. And the way that Dortmund have been playing has been overshadowed to an extent by the fact that Bayern have just been unbelievable. You know, that shouldn't be a given.
Yeah. So really the key point is that, and I think this is where a lot of the debate will centre around, is what would constitute a success for Bayern Munich this season? And we keep going back to the benchmark of the 2012-13 season. But is that a fair?
I was going
to
say that's
is that
fair.
A fair comparison to make?
That's not fair, and it's not only. I mean, you're also talking about expectation. You know, Pep Guardiola's expectation is to win all the time, everything. You know, look what he did at Barcelona. But that's the difficulty. You're talking about a guy who changed football, not just won trophies. So your immediate expectations are through the roof in comparison to other managers. It's completely different, you know.
Okay, a few things that I want to take issue with there, John. I actually agree with you to an extent that people are forgetting how hard it is to be so consistently brilliant over the course of a league campaign. There's no doubt about that. We've seen Bayern this season in particular really grind out results. Perhaps, interestingly enough, they haven't looked as aesthetically pleasing to me this season as they did last season.
Yeah.
And I think some fans have taken solace in that because it suggests that when everything isn't going well, they still know how to grind out results, as we saw against Benfica and Juventus. The issue that I have with that line of argument is that we're not arguing if Bayern Munich have been successful or if Bayern Munich have to win the Champions League. We're arguing if Pep Guardiola has to win the Champions League. And the point I'm making there is that could you quite easily put in another four or five managers from Europe and they'd still be doing this well? Now, in my opinion, they can. I think you can put Mourinho into this Bayern team and they do just as well in the league. I think you can put Conte, I think you can put Klopp, I think you can put, I don't know, there's a few other people off the top of my head I can't think of right now, but I think any top manager can make Bayern win league titles and perform well over the course of the season. In my opinion, if Pep wants to maintain the legacy that he made at Barcelona, I'm not sure if he can reach the heights that he did at Barcelona with this Bayern team, but if he wants to maintain the reputation he has as the best coach in world football, he has to win the European Cup with Bayern Munich.
But that's, we're talking about a man who basically only does three-year contracts. I mean, only does three-year contracts. He did four at Barcelona, but he himself said it was a mistake to stay for the fourth year. The three-year contract to Bayern was the longest thing he signed. Can we really expect anything else than that kind of pressure around this, you know, around his kind of performance?
Well, I think if anything, he probably expects to have won the Champions League in these three seasons. I don't think he would have came to Bayern Munich if he didn't think he could have won the Champions League. And I think if he doesn't, then, as we all know how his personality, he might be his greatest critic. He doesn't really, I mean, we could speak about the media later, but he might not come out, but maybe in a book in the future, he might admit to an author that if Bayern don't win the Champions League this season, then he might feel he left unfinished business or didn't reach his own expectations, and I would understand that.
I want to circle back to one of the points you made, though, about could any top European manager win the Champions League or win a number of titles at Bayern Munich?
No, I said maintain this level of ability in domestic and the Bundesliga.
So what we're essentially saying, I don't know if we'd all agree on this, that Bayern Munich are a quality side in spite of the coach. We're talking about the determination, the professionalism, the quality of the players. Does that apply to the Heinkes season as well?
I think the quality that Bayern Munich have gets them about 90% of the way, and then you need to have a fantastic coach to win the European Cup. And I think that's where I would distinguish between if Pep has or hasn't reached the expectations on him. I think Bayern Munich's coach, I mean, that's a fair point. You can make that about a lot of teams in Europe, but if you could throw any coach in and the team, you know, win games himself, I know that's incredibly simplistic. Yeah.
Don't you think Pep Guardiola's done more than that? You look at this team and it just reeks of him, and therefore there's a touch of him, and that's not something that every manager can do. Yes, he might be able to win, but it's beyond winning. It's never been just about winning for him.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think Pep Guardiola's mindset is that it's about the process. And, you know,
journeyman.
Oh, yeah, exactly. All of these games that Bayern play, you know, Darmstadt away, Juventus, Benfica, Werder Bremen, whatever, it all is part of the process. And that's why they play a very similar type of football. They try to, you know, evolve when they can. And, you know, the point I was going to make, I completely forgot it now, but what I was going to do is it's important to, I think, place Pep Guardiola in a historical context at Bayern Munich in the last couple of years. What Bayern tend to do is they tend to bring in what you would call a football teacher or a football philosopher. Someone like Klinsmann came in and changed the fitness, the professionalism of Bayern Munich. And then, obviously, they go back to your man managers. They went to Van Gaal, who probably is, I think, arguably Bayern Munich's most important coach in the last maybe 20, 25 years, in terms of what the type of football that he installed at Bayern Munich. They were in consecutive Champions League finals. They obviously went back to Heinke's after that, and now we're back at Guardiola. So Guardiola really is bringing in a new type of football. That was the whole objective. So what I'm interested to know from both of you guys is, even if Bayern Munich don't win the Champions League and they look only at the style of football that he's brought in, is that mission accomplished from Matthias Sammer?
In terms of style of football, I think absolutely. I mean, we'll talk about the way in which individuals have benefited from that later, but the style of football that Heinkes played in that season where they won the treble, it was different. You know, they've certainly now felt a lot more comfortable in possession, and as you say, I feel like they've been able to win games in rather ugly fashion, you know, under Pep Guardiola, which sounds a bit odd really because you wouldn't associate the two, but I think the blueprint that he has left at this club will outlast the shine of the trophies that he wins or doesn't win in the trophy cabinet.
But is the next manager, who we know who that is, at Carlo Ancelotti, going to stick with the back three? Is he going to do the, not tiki-taka, but you're right. I mean, Pep was brought in to play fantastic football. That was definitely part of the remit when he came to Bayern, because Heinke is very simplistic football. Jurgen Klopp is convinced he stole it from him. So Heinkes was no great tactician, despite his brilliance. So Bayern wanted something else, a change of scenery, and that's exactly what Pep has brought in. But if we're going back to his legacy, do we think that Bayern are going to continue playing this style of football? I mean, is Pep Guardiola going to be the Johan Cruyff to Pep's Bayern Munich? I don't think so.
It's hard to say. I mean, I think one of the points we touched on earlier about the players, I think that will be one of the lasting legacies. Because if you look at this Bayern team, and you look at Pep Guardiola, they have changed style of the tactics, the formations, the strategies so much. Everything has been constant fluctuation. It basically is a game of chess, and he's basically trying to counter what the opposition is doing, and we've seen it. So sometimes they've played a back three, sometimes they've played four at the back, sometimes they've played
five strikers.
Yeah, I mean, there's been points in the season where they've played at two out and out wingers, and they've been throwing crosses into the box. So the style of football has been so transient that I think it's hard to really establish where the club is going to go from there when Ancelotti takes over. But in terms of the history books, do you think what he's tried to change in terms of the style of football, they're bringing in the Barcelona-inspired football, do you think that's enough for him to be taken as a legend or taken as someone who is almost like a real fundamental part of that club?
But that's the difficulty with Pep Guardiola. You know, how much of his time at this club is going to be defined by just trophies or all of the noise outside of that, you know? I think one of the issues that he will have in terms of setting his names in the history books, whether or not he wins the Champions League this season, is how he's been to the media, to people around the club, and how he's perceived. And I think that's one of the biggest issues in terms of setting your name in a legacy. You know, you have to have a certain aura around yourself. And you compare that to Heinkes. Heinkes was absolutely 100%, you know, the guy. Slippers on, loved it, you know. And Guardiola isn't that. And I think that is something that grates against a few people.
Is that because of his character individually? Or do you think decisions such as, you know, getting rid of Bastian Schweinsteiger, do you think that is something that maybe rubs against Bayern supporters? Because they don't really see, there's not a lot of players in that team maybe that they would personally identify with. Maybe Thomas Müller, guys like David Alaba.
I think perhaps he's very demanding. You know, he's a very intense guy. Every game is intense. He's constantly changing inside games, tinkering all the time. And he wants an extreme level of intelligence from his players. And if he doesn't get that, thanks very much, see you later. You know, and I think he can see that in the likes of Alaba or Müller, you know, those players that are able to deal with extremely high levels of processing. You know, you're talking about inside a game, making split decisions constantly, all the time. And he's demanding that of his players. And he's only got that in a few.
Yeah, so if I could momentarily pull us out from the weeds, you know, we're getting really bogged down in tactics and reputations and the way that, you know, fans may perceive Guardiola, whether they like him or not, independent of success. I might caveat all this by suggesting that we need only to look at who the club have decided to replace him with as perhaps a clear sign of how they think about it. Bayern Munich want to win Champions League trophies. They want that more than fantastic attacking football. They want that more than sexy football. They want that more than being this focal in a cool football club. They want to be European champions, and that's why they've picked Ancelotti. And I think that's a real good telltale of how they think things have to change. Now, if Guardiola wins the Champions League this season, great. They've gone from one European Cup winner to another. But I think I wonder if Pep had already won the Champions League by now with Bayern, whether they would be going for another idealist, such as in an alternate universe, Thomas Tuchel didn't go to Dortmund. Maybe if Pep had already won a European Cup or two at Bayern by this stage, they might have thought, let's go with another interesting, cool option. But when I see Ancelotti on that, on that job description, it says to me, okay, they're done with this. They just want to win European Cups now.
Yeah. I think what's interesting, certainly when we talk about the legacy, is how Van Gaal is viewed now in comparison to when he was actually in charge. Because Van Gaal's reign, for all the interesting football and incisive football and bringing through young players, the last season descended into absolute chaos. I mean, Bayern Munich for a long spell of that season, were certainly not on track to qualify for the Champions League. I mean, we're talking about a complete capitulation. There were, spats with players. You know, the Thomas Kraft issue playing in goal, for example, is one that stands out. Now, when you kind of step away from maybe the intensity and from, the moment, you can look at Van Gaal's era as probably being, as I said, one of the most important in Bayern's history, because it changed the whole culture of football. Bayern, generally, I think, were seen as a functionary team under Ottmar Hitzfeld. It was all about the collective. It was all about, working together, team spirit. But Van Gaal brought in a really possession-based style of football, and that was one of the criticisms eventually at the end, was that he had taken Bayern into a brick wall when games were so boring. They were just passing the ball from side to side. It was the dreaded U shape that Pep Guardiola talked about, when you're just passing the ball aimlessly across the field. So I think what will be interesting, I think, in the next few years is when maybe we step away from the now and we look at Pep Guardiola's three-year reign, whether that was as decisive as Louis van Gaal's reign. And maybe it will take a man manager like an Ancelotti who will, work predominantly with the players, working on the collective strength, working on the composure of the players, the temperament, whatever, whether that will be the catalyst for Bayern Munich to have that success in Europe that they're looking for. Maybe Bayern right now are too busy focusing on the design rather than actually the product which Ancelotti might be able to deliver.
Well, it seems to be quite a lot of noise in and around Pep Guardiola anyway, and Steph had the pleasure of speaking to Raphael Hoeneß-Stein earlier this week, so we should hear what he has to say about Pep Guardiola and his relationship with the media.
The most important relationship for Pep at Bayern, perhaps the one that brought him to the club, was the one he quickly established with Uli Hoeneß. How important do you think that was in him coming to Bayern, and how, at least at the very start, before obviously the tax situation with Hoeneß, how that affected what he got done at Bayern?
Hoeneß is the guy who schmoozes people on Bayern's behalf. I always remember Michael Ballack's agent telling me that when it came down to the final negotiations, they basically refused to go and see him because they were afraid he would talk them round. He is very persuasive. And as soon as Bayern had an indication that they might be able to get him, he was the right man to do it. His English is very good. He can be incredibly charming and persuasive. So, of course, he was the main point of contact and reference for Guardiola to begin with. But as Hoeneß's tax issues started becoming very serious, there was not a lot he could do for Pep. And Karl-Heinz Rummenigge really became the main champion of Pep within Bayern. When the shit hit the proverbial after the defeat against Real Madrid in the semi-final, it was Rummenigge who internally but also publicly backed Pep and made a big point saying he's the right manager for us. Hoeneß already was no longer in a position to do anything by then. And Guardiola has been to see him a few times while he was in prison, and I think there is an emotional connection, but to the best of my knowledge with Guardiola, none of these guys are really close to him the way they were close to Heinkes or Hitzfeld, that it sort of transcends a business relationship. And I think there's a sense of frustration that they never really got closer to him because he is a little bit distant and doesn't seem to want that kind of relationship.
So do you think it would be fair to suggest that after Hones had to leave the club, Pep's relationship with the club itself certainly changed then?
I don't think Hones leaving the club had that much of an impact. I think the big change came when Bayern started wising up to the fact, or waking up to the fact, that he was not going to renew his contract. And I think that cooled the relationship quite dramatically. And the way that Guardiola handled it had a big impact. And I know that even Uli Hoeneß was a bit disappointed in Guardiola, just basically not telling Bayern what he was about to do, stringing them along in a way that never really happened to them with any manager before. You know, you get an offer from Bayern to renew your contract, you sign. If you don't, then you must have a really good reason, and you tell them. But to just say, oh, you know what, I'm not going to make up my mind, I'll tell you next year, got people very, very annoyed. Not so much on a personal level, because I don't think there is a strong personal relationship, but as a business decision, they found it annoying that, you know, your business partner, the guy that holds the key to the clubs, is not committing himself to even give you an answer. And that caused a lot of friction behind the scenes. And when Rummenigge then basically tried to wrest back control of the discussion in the summer in China on a trip to China, and said, you know what, if he doesn't renew the contract, life will go on, you know, Bayern is bigger than that, then Guardiola got incredibly upset and started throwing a bit of a fit. So it's not always been easy with him.
It certainly seems as though his personality comes through in these situations almost to a detrimental effect. And I guess perhaps the most public example we have of that is the spat he had with the club doctor, Mulle Vollhardt. Could you talk a little about that situation and perhaps how that's maybe an example of what you just spoke about there, about how the friction that maybe exists between him and the coach, or at least developed throughout his time at Bayern?
Well, I think in many ways the remarkable story, or the remarkable part about that story, is the fact that it came out, or that it all exploded, because Rummenigge sided with Guardiola. It's at that moment that Müller-Wohlfahrt says, you know what, I'm chucking it in. Because the conflict, in inverted commas, between Guardiola and Müller-Wohlfahrt was more or less there from day one, with Guardiola always pushing and not being happy, and Müller-Wohlfahrt doing things the way he'd done it for the last 40 years. And it's a sort of classic opinions clashing on how to do things. This is not personal. This is about, what are your methods? Why are these guys not fit? Are you doing the wrong thing? And, you know, Müller-Wohlfahrt thinking or saying that, you know, why are you playing these guys? They need more time to recover. I mean, it's this sort of thing, and it's on and off throughout the 3 years. But it only blows up when Rummenigge, in an effort really to get Guardiola to show him that the club supports him to the hilt, sides with Guardiola publicly in front of the team. So I think it's been a little bit misunderstood what really happened there. It's not that Guardiola got rid of Müller-Wohlfahrt, or that he forced them out. Müller-Wohlfahrt felt he had no longer had the backing of a club who at that moment tried absolutely everything, including jettisoning their own trusted doctor, to make Guardiola stay.
In these And this isn't the first time that Pep has had issues with, you know, the hierarchy of a football club. It's quite famously perhaps part of the reason he chose to leave Barcelona. Do you see, I know you obviously follow Bayern far more than you did Barcelona perhaps back then, but do you see any parallels between the way he left Barcelona and how he may leave Bayern?
I don't think there are too many parallels. I think he is actually, he's used the Barcelona experience to tell himself that he shouldn't stay beyond the 3 years, that he shouldn't try to extend and do that one more year that Bayern definitely wanted from him. I think it makes sense in the way that his regime has been so intense and has taken out so much of the club and of the players that probably it has its own shelf life. And I think that's one of the things he took from the Barcelona thing. Of course, for him, there was a big change there because the president changed and he no longer felt he had the loyalty and full backing of the new regime. It's a different story at Bayern, but the bigger picture, you know, of sort of doing your job and then moving on rather than sort of prolonging it, even when you are at the peak, I think is at the back of his mind. And I think it's something that will come into play when he was at City as well. So in that sense, I don't think it's so much about parallels, but actually about trying to learn from past mistakes, I think he would probably say.
Okay. One aspect of Pep's personality that we perhaps don't see too often in the British press or perhaps just the English-speaking world is Pep's relationship with the local media in Germany. He's often quite happy to admit that he can't stand the concept of a press conference. And there's been quite some frustration, perhaps from day one, between him and the German press. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, I think that is fair to say. And there are a number of reasons for this. First of all, I mean, he's come to Bayern with this modus operandi that he's had in Barcelona, which is no one-to-ones. Everything has to happen at the press conference. And, you know, he's on the record saying that you can ask me anything you want. And sometimes in Barcelona, people did, and he sat there for an hour and a half. The problem is, I think in Munich, because of the language issue, and his German is, you know, for a foreigner, is pretty amazing, but it still loses a lot of the nuance, especially in football, especially the way he thinks about football. So it becomes all very flat and just an endless array of superlatives that really don't really tell you anything afterwards. That there was not really, I think, and this is, I think, one of the biggest regrets from a neutral's perspective, he's never really been able to communicate his ideas about football properly in those 3 years, and no one's ever been able to question him properly on that. Because a press conference is not really the way to do it. One guy wants to talk about Müller, the other guy wants to talk about Vidal's haircut. You can't have a real discussion about what's going on. And, you know, when he complained that he wasn't asked any football questions, he was slightly disingenuous because people certainly tried in the beginning, but then gave up because they didn't really get any answers. So I think his people have missed a major trick. I can understand the idea of not favouring anyone and not doing one-to-ones, but at least to have some sort of prolonged round table with three or four people and really talk about football for 2-3 hours, I think would have been very important and would have perhaps have people see him in a different light. Only real insight into what he's doing and what he's thinking comes from third parties, from people who write his books or from the players, but you don't hear it from him. And I think that is a big shame and a big loss to German football on a whole. You know, you would have had the best guy in the business there for 3 years, and you still don't actually know what makes him tick. And I think that's a real shame.
If I could ask you what you think the legacy, what he will leave behind at Bayern, you can caveat if you like, based on whether you think Bayern will or will not win the Champions League and how that would affect how people remember him.
I think it's too early to judge his legacy. People looked at Van Gaal and thought, you know, he's a madman, and everything fell apart in the second season. But it quickly became apparent under Heynckes that the foundations that Van Gaal had built in terms of some players that he brought in terms of the way that Bayern, for the first time in many years, had some kind of very strong tactical identity, would really set Bayern on the path that they are now. So his legacy, for a guy who was only 18 months there, is huge, but it only became fully appreciated 2-3 years down the line. Now, if you look at Pep now, he's still there. I think his legacy, if you want to use that word, or his lasting impact can only be felt years later. It's way too early to say this is going to be his epitaph. At Bayern, it's important to win trophies. He will be judged on that, of course. But I can foresee a scenario where this team, because they had learned so much in terms of flexibility, in terms of being able to think on the pitch, change on the pitch, adapt, will benefit from that for years to come. And, you know, if players like Lahm or one day Schweinsteiger or, you know, one of those Spanish guys will become a manager, then his legacy will be perpetuated the way that Cruyff's legacy has been. So let's give it a few years.
Well, I think that was great to hear from Rafa. One point I want to pick up immediately on is language. We all live in Germany, and it's something that I think has been a real issue for him in terms of trying to convey his philosophy of football. I mean, credit to the guy. He's learned the language to an admirable level. I have real issue with how grating his press conferences are. Just say it in English, my good man. But I think it's an issue. And I think Rafa's right to point that out. You know, it's difficult to convey how you really feel about something in a foreign language, even if you do speak it to a certain level. And that really, I think, although journalists, as he says at the start, were interested in asking about how and what his football type of philosophy was, after a while, people just sort of were bored, and all you got in the end was this super, 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 you know, performance.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a difference.
I think this conflict between the media and Pep Guardiola is actually one of the most defining things of his era, because, you know, one of the things about Guardiola coming in was that it was a transformation of German football culture. And you kind of have to ask the question is whether Germany and German journalists, German, you know, sports guys were actually ready for that kind of change? Where was Germany as a country ready for such a radical change in philosophy and ideas?
But I think it comes back to what you were talking about earlier, quite interestingly. You talk about this rise in media coverage. You know, technology goes through the roof, social media becomes this number one thing, there's more video content, there's more instant media. And that matches with having the biggest head coach in the world at your club. And the combination of those two things, you go from Bayern Munich being, you know, there's a decision made by Uli Hoeneß and Marcus Hovick, the press guy, and they just made this decision, more Hoeneß really, and they were just like, we're going to make sure that this club is covered every single day. I don't care if it's, you know, good news or bad news, we want people there all the time. We're journalists at the training ground. We want coverage. Coverage, coverage, coverage. And that's given them a huge advantage. You combine that now, you can watch Bayern Munich's training sessions live on YouTube in China, right? Combine that now with having Pep Guardiola. It's this huge circus, this storm. And I don't think anybody can be ready for that kind of coverage, that kind of intrusion. You know, add to that Pep Guardiola's intensity as both a man and a manager. It's extremely difficult. Now, that being said, I don't think he's helped himself. I think he's rubbed up people the wrong way. I think he's come in and been extremely arrogant and been like, I'm bigger than the club. And I think that's something that Bayern Munich have really struggled with. You know, you only have to look at the Müller-Borfa issue, as Hoeneß-Stein referenced. That's something that must have absolutely destroyed him, the doctor, Müller-Borfa, because this is a guy who's been so loyal to this club. And in that moment, they decided to side with the best head coach in the world, who at that stage hadn't been at the club very long. You know, I think your excellent point, Ross, that perception with the media and that relationship with the media has bruised Bayern Munich and Pep Guardiola's reputation, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think what I really seem to take from Pep's personality and how his clash with the club is that it has forced the club from within to start taking sides. There's a dynamic to Bayern Munich. I mean, there's no surprise. I mean, this isn't fair just to blame Guardiola on the club's nickname. You know, FC Hollywood is there long before Pep showed up. But over his reign, we have seen almost needless carry-on. We have heard reports of people at the club almost baffled by the way that Pep goes about his job, his attention to detail, and that's his personality. And I think there's undoubtedly clashes there, and it affects everyone. It affects the players, perhaps the most recent ones, maybe Joshua Kimmich, the way that Pep, not embraced, but confronted him after, was it the Dortmund game? Yeah, on the pitch in front of 60,000 people. Mm. I've never seen anything like that in sport in my life. And that you can tell that's just a small example or scraping the surface of what must happen in that club day to day with Pep. And it does seem, in my opinion, to grate with the way that the club is set up, as Rafa eloquently put it, that you know, it has put Rummenigge up against long standing members of the club, and Ole Hoeneß as well, who had to fight with people within the club, with the board, on Pep's behalf, and there's also the most important thing is obviously the manner in which he's now leaving the club, the manner in which he has chose to announce his departure.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the big parts that will define his time at Bayern Munich, was probably the manner in which he's going to leave, because I think it's undoubted that the team has improved, but I think the manner in which he has announced his departure, and you know, this kind of staged press conference, you know, well, it kind of looked as if Bayern Munich had lost the power, and you could almost see in the days after it, and obviously before it, that Rummenigge and Sammer weren't really willing to get involved in the discussion. This was Pep's own thing. It was his own departure. He is the commodity here. And yeah, I mean, for me, that's probably, I would say, it's a blemish on his record. But I think when we talk about, certainly not the legacy, but when we talk about Bayern's performance right now, I think since that announcement, there's been a lot of very controversial situations. Bayern's performance has dropped, and I think you have to take that into consideration. But it's almost, you know, parallel to Van Gaal's time at the club as well.
Okay, so let's take a step back from prodding Pep, and let's just look at what he's done on the pitch. Let's talk about the football, and perhaps conclude this conversation today with the very simple nature of how did Bayern play football under Pep? Is it improved? Has it gone worse? Have certain players gone better or gotten worse? John, what do you think?
I think Ross has mentioned it earlier, and I would certainly believe that they have improved. They are far more fluid. We mentioned it earlier. They can play in a variety of different positions, and I feel like everybody can almost do everything now. You know, it comes back to that idea of total football, and obviously that's hard to do, but I think they've done it, and there's no reason to feel that just because they can sweep a Hannover or you know, a Stuttgart aside, that suddenly, you know, that devalues the achievement. I think they have to do it week in, week out. They continue to put up incredible numbers. They continue to break remarkable records for goals scored, clean sheets, you know, streaks of wins. It's hard to keep up with that. I think the football on the pitch has improved dramatically. Jerome Boateng has become the best defender in the world, in my opinion, and he personifies this era. If there's one player I can think of that has gone from a dodgy left back who failed at Manchester City to a formidable centre back who outmarked Lionel Messi in the World Cup final, huge, you know. And that benefit to Germany is an extension of Pep Guardiola's time at Bayern Munich. You're talking about players that were in that Germany squad: Neuer, Boateng, Lahm, Müller, Kroos, Schweinsteiger. You know, I mean, they're all players that have benefited, albeit at varying levels, from Guardiola's tuition. I think that certainly played a role in Germany's win. But Bayern Munich, you know, definitely. I can't think of, you know, Thomas Müller, and we've talked about Thomas Müller and this whole concept of Raumdeutering and using the space. I don't know whether that's really a verb, but I've just decided to go there. He's gone on and become even better. And I really heavily doubt that just another manager would have done that to him. And the same for Lewandowski, you know. He was phenomenal at Dortmund, but he's just gone another level. You know, from that unbelievable game against Real Madrid for Dortmund, he's now gone on and scored 5 goals in 9 minutes and has continued to score unbelievable amounts and has been so reliable. You know, so I think individually they've improved. Collectively, they're this brute force that strikes the fear of goodness into, or God, let's just say what I want to say, into the opposition before games, you know. And I know that Bayern have always had that, but I think it's at a level now that is unprecedented.
Yeah, to add to that, something that I've always been quite intrigued by is that the way that he's improved average players at Bayern as well. I don't think anyone absolutely anyone on this earth would have considered Rafinha to be such an integral part of Bayern Munich's success over the last 2.5 seasons before Pep arrived. But he has, and I think that's a good, that's a sign of a good coach, that he can take an average player, which Rafinha is, and make him work it to his strength so much so that a club like Bayern can get the best of a player like Rafinha. And Xavi Alonso to a less critical extent, because he's an older player, and he has shown his age at times at Bayern, but the simple fact that Pep has been able to utilise what he still has to offer as a player at such an old age, again, characterises how good Pep is at defining players by detail and streamlining those specific attributes and placing these players in specific places and tactics to get the best out of them.
Yeah, and I think his influence on the training pitch is certainly going to have a pretty lasting effect on Bayern in years to come. Because I think you look at players like David Alaba, who has improved substantially, I think, under Guardiola, and is now, he's almost like a Ballon d'Or candidate in every single position. He's that good. I mean, it's outstanding. I think he's probably one of the most modern footballers out there at the moment, and I think that wouldn't have happened without Guardiola. I think I know that you said earlier that you could bring in a top coach and they would have had success, but I think the extent of Alaba's improvement, his versatility, you know, his outstanding positional play, etc., I don't think that would have happened without Pep Guardiola. I think what's a very interesting experiment was with Joshua Kimmich at centre half. I think a lot of people raised eyebrows at the time, and I think probably still raise eyebrows at whether he is actually a player that you can play at centre half. I mean, he's what, 5'8", 5'9", whatever. He is naturally a defensive midfield player, but he's been so integral to Bayern's build up play since Boateng was injured. I mean, I think it's really understated how well he has adapted to playing centre back. I know that there's been times when defensively they've looked a little bit vulnerable, but Pep Guardiola's mandate is, let's defend by keeping possession, and I think he's been justified in playing Kimmich there. And again, we go back to the conflict with the media. He had one spat saying, don't dare ask me again if Kimmich can play centre back. Well, I think he's been proven right in that extent, and I think players like Alaba and Kimmich are probably going to define Bayern for years to come.
Does Neuer fall into the same argument? Does Neuer even become a Ballon d'Or nominee without that kind of coaching?
But then you go back to the point about the media intensity. This idea that Manuel Neuer invented sweeper keeping or whatever is ridiculous.
Reinvented.
Yeah, and I don't think he did. You've seen goalkeepers for years doing this. Goalkeepers have been defending outside of the box for years, and they've been sweeping up. They've been integral to the. Maybe been popularized by Guardiola.
It doesn't matter if Manuel Neuer reinvented it. What's important is whether Pep Guardiola coached him into doing it, yeah, and turned him into the player that he is.
And I think that's the issue, not the issue. I think that's the point. I think that's exactly what he did. I don't disagree with you that goalkeepers have been doing it for a long time, but I think the extent to which Neuer has done it and become an integral part of that system, Guardiola's system, is something we haven't seen before in a long time, where you effectively have a goalkeeper that's able to be another member of the back line, not just a sweeper keeper, who comes out and is occasionally there. But, he's just one example, an extension of that. So Guardiola's plan, and in terms of improving players, I think it's obvious. He's just one of many. But you have to ask yourself, coming back to this overall question, is it a case of, are improved players enough? As Rafa said, is leaving a blueprint for the next 5 years enough of a legacy at the end of an era, or is it the amount of space that you filled in the trophy cabinet? And I'm personally of the opinion, we talked about it yesterday, that by the time you get to semi-finals, and he's been in semi-finals every year that he's been the coach, it comes down to such fine margins that you can win or lose, and you have to just be in the game at that stage. And the fact that they were is huge credit to him as a coach. I think it's more important to be in those positions, to create a blueprint for the future, to create a sustainable football club in which you're not spending outrageous amounts of money on foreign talent, but you're working with the players that you've got, intensifying their intelligence and creating a platform for.
I think what I found interesting at how Pep has transformed Bayern in terms of tactics is that he hasn't had a Lionel Messi to work with. And to all intent and purposes, Lionel Messi is basically a cheat code in modern football. Barcelona, over the last 5-10 years, since Lionel Messi basically became a first-team player, have been very average at times, but still won European Cups because they have Lionel Messi. I mean, this team, the team we've seen this season under what I think is a very average coach in Enrique, has challenged, or still is challenging for major honours because they have Lionel Messi. And Pep Guardiola's detractors, while he was at Barcelona, often said, well, you know, he's got Lionel Messi. Now, when he moved to Bayern, everyone thought, who's going to be his Lionel Messi? And it turns out he didn't really have anyone. He's got Arjen Robben, who's proved, perhaps, I think, the most critical in that regard. At least
Thomas Müller.
Thomas, two seasons, yeah. And then, but when Robben gets injured, other players step up. So he has a whole array of attacking talent. So that kind of suggests that, you know, as a coach, he is willing to bend and move and transform.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have that one player you can rely on.
I would maybe take issue with that in a little bit. I think if we're looking at, you know, the Champions League semi-finals, as you said, I think the, when it gets to that stage in the competition, the margin of error is so fine. It's like every single trend and pattern that you see in knockout competition goes away. You know, there's this trend, obviously, if you have home advantage in the second leg, you know, that's an advantage to you going into the knockout stages. But when it gets to the semi-final stage, that doesn't even matter. You know, I mean, if you look at the trends over the last 10 years, sometimes it's the reverse. If you have the home leg first, it's actually an advantage. I think when you talk about individual quality, I think this is why it's quite a unique Bayern team, because Pep Guardiola had this style that was almost kind of mechanic in the first 2 years. It was all about the collective. It was all about, you know, the team effort, the team functioning and combining together. This year, I think it's a little bit different. I think Bayern have signed players specifically to counter that, i.e. Arturo Vidal, Douglas Costa, Kingsley Coman. I think when you look at Robert Lewandowski is the type of player for me this year who has bailed Bayern out big time. His individual quality, there's been times when he has just taken the game by the scruff of the neck. I remember one game against Augsburg, for example, where, you know, I think they were losing 1-0 at the time, and he just gets the ball, runs half the length of the pitch, sticks it in the net. You know, that's the kind of individual quality that I think Bayern have now. And in terms of the short-term success, it'll be interesting to see whether Guardiola's decision to bring in those quote-unquote chaos players is actually going to prove dividends.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I can be allowed to perhaps offer a caveat to this, I mean, when it comes to this stage of his job, it's full of praise, but I've been trying to think of places in Pep's player management profile that he has failed, and I can think of three players to varying degrees. The most obvious one, without doubt in my mind, is Mario Götze. I think fans as well as critics of Bayern have been just as miffed as each other as to why Götze hasn't succeeded at Bayern. You can maybe argue that parts of it are down to the player, but in my opinion, at the end of the day, it's Pep's job to get the best out of him, as he has with other players in the squad, and he just hasn't done that. Another one, the other two aren't as dramatic or as obvious, but I think another one is perhaps Mario Mandzukic, who seemed to have a personality clash with Pep from the very start. And in my opinion, it reminded me a lot of his issues with Zlatan Ibrahimovic at Barcelona. So that's another issue where the way that he is as a coach has been detrimental to one of the key players at the time at Bayern. And the third one is Benatia this season, who I think not cruelly, but dramatically underused. And the way that we have seen, I mean, Ross, you make a really good point about how fantastic Kimmich has been as centre-half. David Alaba too, they both proved that Pep's style of, you know, putting a round peg into a square hole works at times, but I think they've also proved at times that it doesn't work. And there have been times where I watched Bayern this season with Kimmich and Alaba, particularly in the Champions League, when I thought, why the hell isn't he playing Benatia? And the Juventus game is perhaps a clear example where they lacked so much height, and we could just see it coming that Mandzukic bullied Kimmich when he came on the pitch. And it's those aspects where you think Pep is overthinking this, and sometimes he has to just drag things back and be a very basic coach and think, you know what, maybe I should just play the big centre-back at centre-back.
Well, the counter to that would be that he played Benatia in the second leg and they were 2-0 down by about 15 minutes. So I think sometimes it's better to stick to your guns than maybe actually do what logic suggests, you know what I mean? I think there's some interesting points that you raised there, and I think I'm presently going to raise the question as to whether it was actually good management with Mandzukic. I was a Mandzukic fan. I thought he was an outstanding player at Bayern, but in terms of his philosophy, Robert Lewandowski has fitted his style of football better because he's more of a playmaking striker. He can do an array of different things to a really outstanding level. You have to ask the question whether, obviously we don't know this for sure, but I mean with McMahon Mandzukic, whether he was a detrimental player to have in the dressing room.
I think ultimately you could quite easily make the case that Bayern have been better without Mandzukic, and if the club knew that Lewandowski was on his way, then okay, thanks Mario, but we don't need you anymore. I just meant like specific examples of where his man management might not have worked as well as it has, more obvious, because history only remembers, you know, the successors, and we only remember the players who've excelled under Pep, but there have been some examples who critically haven't.
But when you talk about success and failure and only remembering one side, it's important in the context of whether this question is not something that we can, you know, answer succinctly, and that's why we've given the time today to answer it. But, you know, you're talking about the defining a Champions League, and we're just talking about those players in the context of semi-finals or quarter-finals, you know. Looking at the situations that they've been in, they have played a Spanish team every time that they've been at this stage of the competition. And, you know, the first year that they played Real Madrid, and that year was, if you're talking about failures of individuals, I would say in terms of failures of competition, that's probably his biggest failure. The decision in the second leg to be a bit more gung-ho than was necessary, and it ultimately cost them. But, you know, next year, you're playing Barcelona, who at that time were incredible. And, you know, I know that you talked about Messi sort of carrying them. Yes and no. You know, they're still a force to be reckoned with, and they're still, you know, arguably the best team in the world. So you're coming up against a side at that point where you're like, okay, wow, you know. And in the context of Real Madrid, it's Ronaldo. In the context of Barcelona, it's Lionel Messi. And this year, you're facing a defensive side that is just incredible, you know, in terms of their figures, you know, unbelievable stats. Simeone is ferocious. So, you know, we talked about fine margins. They're playing high quality opposition. It's not, I don't think it's fair to say at that stage, oh, well, you know, you've lost that. Real Madrid, mistake. Barcelona, understandable. Who knows what will happen this year?
I think semi-final qualification constitutes a success anyway. For me personally, I think Bayern's season now, if they win the championship and they win the DFB Cup, I think you'd have to say they're a success. However, given that Real Madrid have been, you know, a little bit topsy-turvy this year, given that Barcelona are now out of the competition, it's difficult to avoid the point that Bayern Munich probably are the favourites and probably should expect to win the competition. Now, does that kind of act like a, you know, an anchor to Pep Guardiola? Does he have to now win the competition because of the failures of those teams? Is he now expected to win the competition? For me, I think semi-finals are a success. I think if you look at, you know, success is relative, and I think economics plays a big part in it. Bayern Munich are fifth in the Deloitte Money League. They are behind Barcelona, Real Madrid. I think PSG are in there as well. So really, getting to the semi-final stage...
I thought they were third.
Fifth.
Was it fifth now? Okay.
They are. So that's a success for me anyway.
I think the point he raises is that they're also better completely than the other two semi-finalists. I think they would beat Manchester City and Real Madrid in a game, in a final. The fact that they're playing Atletico Madrid in the semi-finals is intriguing because I think of all the teams to face, this is the most uncomfortable one. And of course, Pep must be thinking, you have to be joking, in a semi-final, you know? And I think that will ultimately be the test. You know, if they end up winning this game and they end up making the final, that's a huge credit, not only for overcoming this psychological issue that is now a semi-final, but also overcoming a side that are basically the one obstacle standing in their way.
Let me bring this back to the players. And another point that I would want to raise is that I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the aspects of Pep's coaching that I think Bayern were hopeful when they signed him was the manner in which he can develop young players. And I think you could make an argument that he hasn't done that at Bayern to the same extent. The one player who stands out like a sore thumb to disrepute that point is David Alaba. In my opinion, David Alaba was on his way to world class when Pep arrived. He's played him in different positions, that's fine, he's got more strings to his bow, but in my opinion, David Alaba was long on his way to being the world class player that I think he is now before Pep arrived and started doing things. Now, the thing that upsets me to a certain extent is that, and I think Bayern fans may feel the exact same way, is that players like Højbjerg, players like Mitchell Weiser, and players like Sebastian Rode, Roda have fallen by the wayside. And Bayern have spent money to ensure Pep's success by buying ready-made stars. And in that, we mean Robert Lewandowski, we mean Benatia. And that's fine. And if that's the way the club want to run things, that makes sense. It makes sense to buy the best players when they're in the peak of their career and they can win competitions. But if Pep is to be known as this revered, you know, curator of youth stars, then I don't see where he's done that at Bayern to maintain that regime.
I think he's certainly failed in some respects. The players that you've outlined are absolutely the case. Sinan Kurt is another one, you know, go big there and he fails. But I also think he succeeded. Alaba, yes, Kimmich as well, I think is a name that deserves, okay, it's maybe a bit premature to suggest that he's amazing, but I think he's certainly come a long, long way under Guardiola's stewardship. But I think you have to strike the balance of Bayern Munich. You know, you're trying to buy the best players in the world because you are one of the best teams in the world, and at the same time, you're trying to create youngsters or bring youngsters through. And I think he's actually struck the balance relatively well. Yeah, of course, he's had failures along the way, but I think part of every success is to make a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly with the youth point, I mean, to me, I don't really would class that as part of the criteria, so whether it's a success or failure. I mean, I think if you look at Mourinho, you look at Ancelotti, if you look at Sachi, Van Gaal, I mean,
none of these guys are known as youth coaches, though.
No, but he's
no, but I don't think Pep Guardiola really is either.
But I think he was. I think that's one of his allures at Barcelona.
But the fact that you've got to remember, we come back to this situation. He's a 3-year guy. He's he's working with such great intensity that can we really expect him to do more than what he has done on an individual basis in terms of, you know, developing a youth talent? He's not going to be turning to players who are 16, 17. Coman is another player we should probably mention, to be honest, because. But he's not going to be doing that. You know, I think, given the very small window that he's playing in, he's trying to get the best out of his players. If he sees a player that has the potential that he can push, like Kimmich or Alaba, he's going to go with it, of course. But otherwise, he's working towards a certain set of goals. This is my philosophy. We're going to play this way, and we're going to be successful this way. And I think either you fit that bill, or you don't.
So if we're kind of concluding the Pep project, 3 years... has it been a success overall? And let's take out, you know, in terms of the short term of the Champions League and whether, you know, Bayern needs to win that tournament to be a success. Has the Pep project been a success, or should they have stayed with Heynckes?
Well, I think it's a success. I think Heynckes wanted his slippers anyway, so I don't think they would have stayed with him. But I think it's a success. I think to win 3 consecutive Bundesliga titles and to come in your first season and collect almost the same points as Heynckes. That transition was seamless. Bayern were incredible. They've stayed incredible. They've lost, you know, lost to Dortmund in the semi-final on penalties. You know, that's a gamble. You know, fine margins. You win or you lose them. They're in the final this year again. I think another double would be brilliant. And, you know, Champions League semi-finals at that stage, as we said earlier, I think it's fine margins. Ultimately, everyone will say if he doesn't win, then he's been a failure. But I think that's a lazy approach. I really do. I think there's a way to look at how you define an era, and I think it's beyond just the trophies. I know that that's what it is for a lot of people in the media and the way that it's you when you read results and you look back at history. Oh, did he win this? Did he win that? People won't remember things. But I think in Guardiola's case, people will remember because Bayern will continue to look very fluid and very good in the years to come, even after he's left, even if he doesn't win the Champions League.
I think I would go back to what John said at the start of the show in terms of it's not about where you're going, it's the way that you got there, and I would completely disagree with that. In this regard, Bayern have done some interesting, fascinating things with Pep Guardiola this season, last season and the season before. We've seen some tantalising football, we've seen some fascinating tactics, and we've seen some interesting projects with certain players, and it's all been a lot of fun. But have Bayern achieved a degree of success that they couldn't have done with Jose Mourinho or Conte or Simeone? No, I don't think they have. I don't think they've reached new heights under Pep Guardiola, and I don't think they reached the heights that they wanted to reach with Pep Guardiola unless they win the European Cup. So I accept John's point, and from a point of view, for our point of view, where we document and we report on the day-to-day running, it's been a fascinating ride. But I do think that you can define by, you know, where you're going from A to B, and although Bayern have gone in circles and all sorts of places, I don't think they've I don't think they've moved higher in terms of their placing in world football since Hein Kerr's left. I think they maintained that level. So in my opinion, if he doesn't win the Champions League this season, then they have maintained where they are, their footing in European football, but they haven't surpassed what they did under Hein Kerr.
Okay, well, I'm just going to sit on the fence massively here and say that...
Very diplomatic.
Yes, well, I mean, I think Rafa's point was absolutely bang on. I think to assess his overall impact at Bayern, I think it would take another couple of years. I mean, I think what was maybe understated in Heinkes' success was that Van Gaal played a massive role in that, what the style of football that he created. And I think if Ancelotti goes on and wins the Champions League at Bayern, I think, also depending on the style that he does it and whether he tries to stamp his own authority on the team, I think Pep Guardiola has to take a big amount of credit as well. I mean, I think even though, and you know, Barcelona won the Champions League last year under Enrique, I think Guardiola has to take success for that. So, yeah, I'm going to sit on it massively and say, I don't know.
Okay, well, ultimately, it will come down to what you, the listener, thinks after hopefully enjoying this podcast. You can, of course, follow us on all the usual channels. We are on Twitter at Tribune Pod. And you can also find us on Facebook as well under a similar name. You can follow myself, Stefan Binkowski, at S. Binkowski.
JohnBlog66, yeah, always a pleasure.
And I'm at RossDunbar93.
And of course, your help is always much appreciated. If you enjoy what you have heard today, we do hope you'd stick around for the ride. We'll be along every week talking all sorts of topics within German football, and we surely hope you would subscribe to the podcast and, of course, leave us a rating on iTunes as well so we can start moving up the rankings. So thank you very much for joining us today, and we'll see you soon.